Good afternoon. Welcome in. It's Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. It's a Patriots Monday here. We are live at Gillette Stadium. Nice to have you with us here today on not a victory Monday, moral victory Monday, maybe. I know Andy Hart feels that way. I have mixed feelings about that game we just saw. Don't really have mixed feelings about Drake May. I liked what I saw from him. What you just heard there was his first touchdown, pass, I should say, as a professional. And in a lot of ways, you can look at that game and feel optimistic about Drake May and what you have there. I think that there are certainly a lot of things to like about the performance that you saw. I think there are some things here that I still have very mixed feelings about when I look back at that game and look at the rest of the roster outside of Drake May and maybe a handful of other guys. But let's go ahead and start there. That was the first touchdown of the game. They were already down 14-0. A minute left in the first half. For the first time all season, they treated the end of the first half like it wasn't a fire drill where they're all running around burning to death. They actually put something together. They put a drive together. May hit some guys in stride. They got a couple penalties as well. And then the booty call, which you heard right there, as a beautiful throw right in the bucket. And first touchdown on the board. Things got pretty bad in the second half, kind of right away. And while May did have a good day overall, he did make some mistakes that led to some points for the Houston Texans, who end up winning big. But I think in general, and I know I'm on the minority here, I think in general it seems like a lot of people are very happy and very relieved by what they saw. I still have some misgivings about the entire process that went into this season, that went into drafting Drake May, the roster that's put around him and everything else, but we'll get to that in a second. Andy, I heard you on the Six Rings postgame show with Fitzy. I know you guys are excited. We just heard Jones and Keefe. I know they're excited. Why are you so excited?
I have no misgivings. I have no mixed feelings. The 2024 Patriots entered modern football on Sunday. They have a quarterback. They have a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field. They have a quarterback that can run and utilize his athleticism. It's not the be-all, cure-all, end-all by any means, but a week after watching the worst football game I've ever seen with mine own two eyes, I was excited. I was entertained. I saw hope for the future. I saw what Gerard Mayo talked about when he said this year is about setting a foundation and figuring out what we have and what we don't have. I saw the reason you took Drake May with the number three overall pick. I saw signs that those of us that believed there were three franchise quarterbacks available atop the draft, take the one that falls to you at three, were right, because we also have continued to see Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels do good things with their football teams. To me, that was the biggest factor. You entered the world of entertaining football, which is a massive step forward for this offense. Three touchdown passes. So that's how many more than Jacoby Brissett had in the first five games total? That'd be one more.
One more.
One more already. At least two passes that went over 35 yards. That's more than I believe he had all year. The only long pass they had was the Hunter Henry screen pass.
Right.
I don't count that. That's a screen pass. That's a catch and run. Mm-hmm. That's not a catch down the field. So you were playing football as football is being played. We didn't have to count on some 1985, 1945 offense to get the job done. In fact, that was actually the part of the offense that was lacking.
Right.
The thing you're supposed to be able to do, run the football. No Ramondre Stevenson. You got the dancing bear back there and Antonio Gibson just hopping around, not actually gaining any yards.
I was getting Lawrence Maroney flashbacks
yeah,
from him yesterday.
Terrible.
That was it. Tap dancing was bad.
Terrible.
You know what's crazy? Patriots had more total offensive yards against the Dolphins than they did yesterday. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Now, it was only like eight more yards, but it was because of the running game. It definitely didn't feel that way.
Didn't feel like it at all.
Because they were passing the ball, but they couldn't run it at all. I don't blame May for that, obviously. It's because Stevenson wasn't in. But I expected a little bit more from Gibson. And I think this also goes back to the roster construction, which we've discussed, and how they could have fortified it a little more if they wanted to have a real run game and have that be something that they did, assuming that Stevenson misses a game here or there as an off game once or twice, or, I don't know, gets tired midway through the game from carrying the whole load. I think that would have been something they could have done. But I agree with largely mostly everything you said there. They are playing a modern game now. They do have a modern quarterback. They have a guy that you can look to and say, okay, after 5 weeks of Jacoby Brissett, after 5 weeks of watching that offense, there's something much better now. I just sort of feel like being better than Jacoby Brissett isn't quite, you still lost by 21 points. Like, you still got your ass handed to you yesterday by a good team. It's not like you lost to, like that to the Dolphins or to the Jaguars you play next week or, you know, one of these bottom-tier teams. But you went out there with your new present that you finally got to unwrap.
The Bugatti is out from under the carport.
He looks pretty good. I don't know about Bugatti. I'd say is maybe a bit of a stretch there.
What?
He had a couple of bad throws.
The Bugatti hadn't been running a while, so it had a like.
There was a couple of coughs.
The kinks out, little smoke. The oil wasn't quite flowing. Whatever it might be.
Well, if we're
I told you pregame, he was going to have that pick.
That's
remember
true.
When I told you Quinn Ewers had the pick in the Red River rivalry?
Right.
Where those quarterbacks that either haven't played before or are rusty, excited, amped up, that throw over the middle is tailor made. For an interception.
That gave me Mac Jones flashbacks, one. That was a Mac Jones type.
We're not comparing the 10s.
That was a Mac Jones type throw.
No, Drake May's a 10 out of 10. Mac Jones a 10 out of 100. That's the difference between those two 10s. They are nothing alike. And I don't want. We're not doing the comparisons. They couldn't be any more different personalities.
What are you talking about? We're doing the comparisons. I'll compare whatever I want.
They are.
I'll compare anything I want to. And by the way.
Compare an apple to an orange?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying.
Okay, that's what they are.
That looked like a Mac Jones throw, did it not?
No, it didn't.
It didn't really?
It looked like
air mailing one over the middle.
Josh Allen throw. You ever watch Josh Allen early in his career? That was a Josh Allen throw.
Fine, it was a Josh Allen throw back when he wasn't very good. That's the same thing.
That comparison I'll accept.
What's the difference? I think it was
the floater versus the laser.
There was a floater. That was a floater.
No, that was a laser.
He floated that
laser.
One. And by the way, there was some other ones that I thought in the short game.
That's
something he's got to work on.
I said to Fitzy in the postgame show, if you made me take like bet my mortgage on a throw and I need Drake May to either complete a 40-yard touchdown into the bucket of booty, or you need him to complete like an 8-yard crosser, I would take the 40-yard throw. He's better at that throw. He just is. We saw it all summer on the training camp fields.
Yep.
Those intermediate throws, and even there, I give him credit. He talked about it post-game. First one across the middle was picked off. Horrific throw.
Bad throw.
Then there was a throw later to Douglas that Douglas has to come way behind him and catch it and removed any chance of run after catch. Then late.
Gibson had one like that, too.
Then late, he hits him right here. What happens? He catches it in stride, goes down the sideline for a touchdown. So I'm not saying, okay, we put the accuracy issues in the middle of the field behind him like he already worked out those kinks, but I thought he showed some progress there. I do think, and everybody gives him a pass on the second interception. I do not.
I don't either.
Because the low arm angle thing he does.
Oh, it got popped up in the air. Don't throw it in a place where the guy can pop it up in the air.
Go up top. Like, get it over the. Now, I know Will Anderson made a great play.
And he's a great player.
Right.
Yeah.
But
that interception, the guy was getting blocked and caught.
Right, great physical play.
Crazy
but to
play.
Me, it's the release point of the throw that I think is going to be an issue. I think he's going to have batted throws at times as we start to nitpick. But today is not about nitpicking. Today is about you got your first taste of Drake May.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the only criticism for me, because I told you there's going to be a couple different groups of people. What took so long or told you couldn't play him?
Right.
The told you couldn't play him better hide under a rock, Dan Orlovsky.
I haven't heard much from them today.
Yeah, because they have nothing they can say.
Right.
It would be pure idiocy. It would be idiocy to say anything like that. The people that have the argument today is, remind me again why we couldn't play him in week one. And I know Gerard Mayo told the morning show basically it was because the line sucked. But
which
guess
is
what?
A new thing now, by the way. He said the exact opposite of that a couple months ago.
And the line still sucks. I told you the line was going to suck all. You're signing guys and starting them. I don't know.
We had to wait until we found a guy who has been on the team for 3 days.
Badass Ben Brown.
Off the Raiders practice squad. That's when we knew the O-line
at
was
center,
right and ready to go.
At center for a team that asks the center to make all the calls.
Right.
So we threw a guy out there and basically said, you know the offense, right? You know all the calls. You're just like David Andrews. You know everything, all the changes, everything. You'll get it out to the guys. You got, what's his name? Zach Thomas. Not that one.
Not him, yeah.
Playing next to Michael Jordan. Not that one. And you got this center who just got here, and he's supposed to run the show out there.
And who played pretty well, I thought, but yeah.
Gerard Mayo said he was their best offensive lineman. So good, they cut Nick Leverett.
Mm-hmm. Saw that. That's interesting. It's weird that they're cutting any offensive lineman on this team.
That's weird.
That's part of the issue here, and that's why I have mixed feelings about this game. I don't really have too many mixed feelings about May. Everything I just said was all the complaints I had about the actual game that he played. And that's all stuff I'm willing to look past.
Yeah.
That's all stuff I'm willing to look at and say it's his first game. That's the way it goes sometimes. You can't expect a rookie to walk in and not make any mistakes. All that's fine.
He had the best start since 1950 for a rookie QB. What was that number? First quarterback with 3 passing touchdowns and led the team in rushing. Best since 50. He's the only guy that's done it with the 3 passing touchdowns and led his team in rushing.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Leading the team in rushing was
that
more.
That wasn't much, 38 yards.
It was kind of about how crappy the rushing game was and
not
how great he was. But he did a good job in that area. I thought he ran with a head about him. He wasn't running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Picked a spot, some good scrambles, some good runs. It didn't seem like a lot of designed runs.
No, which I was disappointed
in. But yeah,
you want
like
me to switch to negativity and criticism? The next guy that I'm going to have in my crosshairs in that way is I feel the same way about Alex Van Pelt as I did about Jacoby Brissett. Really nice guy. I'm not sure I want him to do his job anymore. I saw nothing from Alex Van Pelt. Like, you gave You said they didn't look like the you know, fire drill at the end of the second quarter.
Right.
You know why? You had a quarterback who could make the throws. Mm-hmm. You had guys make. He was getting the ball down the field to guys that could run after catch, making plays.
Running a no huddle and just getting them,
yeah.
keeping it moving. Right.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know that Alex Van Pelt did anything any different. If anything, I hated the start of the game.
Handoff, handoff.
Like, what are you doing? If you want to get your rookie QB comfortable, run the wide zone boot on the first play of the game so he gets that little 5-yard throw and goes, oh, yeah, I can complete a pass on an NFL field. I'm mm-hmm. not, you know, some dummy or whatever. Like, he admitted to you he was going to be nervous. The quarterbacks don't get less nervous, in my opinion, by going like this. They don't get less nervous till they drop back and actually throw a pass and realize, oh, it's still just football. There's still guys in front of me chasing me, still guys protecting mm-hmm. me. So I think Alex Van Pelt, I didn't see anything I liked yesterday. And I'm not sure I've seen anything I like from him in, what are they now, 1-5?
So 1-5.
Six games, more than a third of the way through the season. So if you want to ask me to have mixed feelings, my mixed feelings are Drake May is tied to Alex Van Pelt for at least the next 11 games. And I don't know if I like that. Am I producing? Am I advancing? Am I developing? Or am I wasting time until the Giants fire Brian Daboll and I can hire him?
Yeah, that's fair. I think, in that same vein, that's part of my complaints too, obviously, is that the coaching staff, and I include Mayo, I don't think he had a good day yesterday at all. But, you know, Van Pelt, the roster construction, I just sort of feel like the makeup of this roster, and coaching staff for that matter, so it goes up even higher than just, you know, Elliott Wolf and all that, but I have things to say about him too. It's hard for me to see a great vision for the future that everybody else seems to see. He's surrounded by the worst offensive line in football, I think. I think he has the worst pass-catching group in football. I don't think, maybe you can make an argument, maybe one or two teams. I don't think there's a lot of other ones. Bottom four, bottom three maybe, something like that. And people bristle past that like, it's okay, Drake May's going to come in, he's going to fix it all.
Yeah.
Those two factors, I think, are going to hinder his development. I think that's going to hurt his development. When you don't have an offensive line that can get him used to the normal game speed, that can get you ready to hit guys deep down the field, which is really where he excels so far at this point in his career, you need time for guys to get down the field. You can't play action every time. There was a couple of times. There was one time where he did a play action and Hasty ran out, and then he ran up the middle and he pushed Hasty into the blocker. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Like on one of his scrambles, and I'm just sitting there going like, this is not going to work. Like you're going to have to pray week in and week out when you're going up against a half decent pass rush that this O-line can at the very least hold it together. 7 penalties in the first half?
Not good.
Like this is ridiculous. And if I had any belief that your plan about, you know, Drake May coming in and then T. Higgins and getting all these guys.
Did you watch Sunday Night Football? T. Higgins looked good.
T. Higgins looked good enough that I think the Bengals are just going to re-sign him and bring him back like everybody else does.
You're missing the point.
That's what every good wide receiver does.
You can't keep both, so you know what you're going to do?
They'll find a way.
No.
Yes, they will.
They suck enough so that they're going to have a top 10 or 12 pick. They're just going to try to do what Minnesota did and just draft another one and have Ja'Marr Chase and who, you know, the kid out of Arizona or one of these hot shot young receivers and call. That's the beauty of it. And T. Higgins looked like a number one receiver last night in my mind. You put him on this team, the Andy Hart plan is taking off.
All right. I mean, good receivers, I feel like, don't get traded anymore. That's a rarity. Yeah,
you're just going to sign
him. You don't see much of it, and I just don't feel like they're going to let him get to free agency. And if they do, who's to say that the Patriots are going to make the best offer? Like, I don't trust these guys. I don't trust the people putting this roster together. They didn't do it this last time. They thought this was an acceptable team to put around their rookie quarterback, and that, to me, kills all their credibility. I'm sorry.
Where can T. Higgins go where he gets a better opportunity to be a well-paid number one receiver with an elite young quarterback?
How about the Chiefs? It's not a young quarterback, but he's the number one guy right there.
I don't
there
think
in
the Chiefs
City.
Are giving him.
He'd be the number one receiver in Buffalo. He'd be the number one receiver a whole bunch of places.
Buffalo's a good answer, but I'm not sure either of those two teams can give him $35 million a year like the Patriots can. I don't think he's going to get the if he wants to do that. And
if
the
Patriots were actually going to do that, then I'd feel good about it.
They're absolutely going to do that.
Are they?
Absolutely. Yeah, why do you doubt the Indy Hart plan?
I don't doubt you. I'm doubting them. I'm doubting them because of this offseason and what they've done here. And I guess you're buying into them. So, yeah, I am doubting you. But, like, what I'm seeing here is a team that just thought that this would be accepted, that this would work.
I don't think so.
I really don't.
I think you're seeing a team that sneaky tanked. I don't think they wanted to have a great roster. They weren't going to put together a mediocre roster to win 5 games. They'd rather win 2 games, get a number one pick or a number two overall pick, and have the money to spend on legit talent, not waste it on guys. Now, the offense.
And they had money to spend this offseason. on legit talent, and they didn't.
I just don't know what legit talent we're talking. I'm with Mayo.
It's not Austin Hooper. It's not Antonio Gibson.
Did you hear Mayo this morning when he said, like, everybody says they wanted us to sign players. Who'd you want us to sign? We signed the best offensive lineman. You can make that argument. Now, I don't think he's played up to his contract.
Doesn't look like the best offensive lineman.
That's where I get into coaching and the scheme, and I don't know, Scott Peters, Alex Van Pelt. I don't know what's going on there. But, you know, Calvin Ridley, you want him?
Yes.
This is effing ridiculous. I need effing targets in the effing beginning of the effing first quarter of the effing game.
Oh, wow, a Diva wide receiver. Oh, my God. Like, they don't have two of those already.
You know what I like about Diva wide receivers?
Calvin Ridley.
Talent, and he doesn't have Diva talent.
Yes, he does. He is just more talented than anybody you have.
Oh, absolutely, but that's a terrible bar.
I don't think so.
He's like the worst number one receiver in football.
Well, then you have to give your guys something. Your number one receiver right now is who?
You don't have to give your guys
something. Your number one wide receiver right now is who?
Bourne,
and probably. He's worse than Calvin Ridley?
Bourne is definitely worse than Calvin Ridley.
So then he's not the worst number one receiver
Pop Douglas
in football.
Well, I don't think any of these are number ones. He's paid like a number one.
Fine.
He's actually got $30 million a year or whatever the hell he collected down
right.
there.
Right, and that's had something to do with
and
the time
he's got like
he
four
was
catches
free agent.
Since week
but, I mean,
two.
You can just keep saying, everybody keeps saying that, well, you know, if you had signed Jonah Williams, then he'd be injured right now, and that wouldn't have made much sense.
I haven't said that. That's the one that I would
have
signed Jonah Williams.
Fine.
That's the one I think they should have signed because I don't think it would have hindered you in any way long term. Any way at all. But if you sign...
I don't think Ridley would have hindered you long term.
See, I do, because A, you're giving him... It's $90 million. $90 million, a lot of money. That's eating away at your cap space. I'd much rather give T. Higgins whatever the hell he wants, because the last thing I'd want is them to say, oh, we can't get T. Higgins because we got Calvin Ridley. I don't want Calvin Ridley. I think T. Higgins could be an actual number one.
Them saying we can't get T. Higgins because we have Calvin Ridley is a them problem, not a Calvin Ridley problem. Because you'd be able to get both of those guys. You have enough space for that. You can do that.
You have to pick and choose where you're going to
spend. You have a rookie quarterback. This is how you do it. I mean, you get DJ Moore
but you need
and
more.
Keenan Allen.
You need a pass rusher. You need a defense. You need an entire offensive
line.
That's
true, and that's
why I draft all of them.
That's why I'm not happy today. That's why I'm not happy today, Andy. That's exactly the reason
why. I think there's more to it than that, and this is a you problem.
The defense sucks. I'm sorry. That defense
kinda
got
does.
Absolutely carved up
especially
yesterday
those first
from
two.
The very beginning of the game to the end of the game. I mean, that was a brutal, brutal showing from a secondary that I expected more from. Gonzalez didn't look good. Jones, who we're going to talk to, I thought had a rough day. Marcus Jones also had a rough day. These guys are getting scorched by two guys. It was really just Dell and Diggs. That's it. And no one could add any answer for them whatsoever. There was no pass rush to speak of. There was really nothing. This team, I feel like, is more than one offseason away from competing. And by the time they finally put something respectable together, I feel like you're going to have to be making a decision about Drake May and his fifth-year option. And I don't know if by then it's even going to be worth it. Like, that's my problem here. I'm looking into the future, and I don't like what I see.
What do you mean not worth it?
Not worth it to give him a big fat contract when here you are. It's been 3 years. You probably missed the playoffs each time. You're picking in the top 10, top 15. You haven't rebuilt the roster enough because you're unwilling to go spend or you're missing on wide receivers in the drafts like they do every single year. And I just don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about the future here. I think Drake May is a good player. The rest of the team, I don't trust. I don't trust them, and I don't trust them to make it better.
So I love Drake May. I think I already see enough signs. I think Drake May is going to get his contract. In a world where Trevor Lawrence gets a contract and these guys get contracts,
think Jacksonville wants that contract back?
They made a bad decision. Drake May is better than Trevor Lawrence. You heard it first.
We'll see
it on Sunday in Wembley when he outshoots him. There's questions about this roster.
Might be going against Mac Jones at Wembley.
To me, the one simple question that I can't definitively answer or defend is, do you trust Elliott Wolf? To me, that's the biggest question facing this team right now. There's actually two of them. The Alex Van Pelt issue, developing Drake May in the offense. Do you waste a year and then start over? Because I think we all know the history of when you give a quarterback multiple coordinators early in his career,
right?
You're kind of pushing him down the bust path.
You're playing with fire when you
absolutely.
Do that. Yeah, sure.
But the bigger issue for me is Elliott Wolf, because I think he absolutely has the tools at his disposal to enact the Andy Hart plan or the Elliott Wolf plan or the Jerod Mayo plan or the Jonathan Kraft plan between draft picks and spending. But do you trust him to do it? Because based on this offseason, there's questions. And it's not about what he spent or who he spent on. It's that the ignoring of left tackle to me was a cardinal sin. Then you go back and people are like, what does it matter if they cut Nick Leverett? Well, they signed him to be a guy on this team.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a lot of money. But you targeted him as a either backup offensive lineman or fill-in starter.
Mm-hmm.
And now, by week six, you've said, I don't want him anymore.
Yeah.
The other guy you targeted asked to leave a month ago, quit on you, and stunk. You said he was a left tackle. You didn't make it through the first game with him at left tackle. You pulled his ass immediately.
And that wasn't all done because they were trying to tank this year. Those were moves that were made in earnest trying to make that O-line better. I don't think they signed Chukwuma Okorafor saying, oh, I bet this guy's going to quit in week three.
No.
He's going to suck and that we're going to lose a bunch of games because he can't play. I don't think that's why they signed him.
I think they thought he's fine enough to play. We're not probably going to win games because of him, but we can put him out there more often than not.
And we also don't want to pay big money for Jonah Williams or Tyron Smith or any of the other actual
tackles. Well, Tyron Smith wouldn't come here. Jonah Williams.
If you paid him enough, he probably would have.
I don't think he would have.
I think if you would blow away the Jets offer, I think you could have.
I think he wanted to go to a team. Well, I don't want to blow away the Jets.
The Jets were so good last year. The Jets missed the playoffs,
too. Well, they were a perceived Super Bowl contender. I mean, that's the reality. They have a talented roster. That's why their head coach was canned.
Fine. But they also missed the playoffs last season, and they weren't considered. I know, but they weren't considered some kind of juggernaut team, I don't think.
No, but they're a Super Bowl contender.
They're better than you. I mean, yeah, they're better than the Patriots.
Top to bottom, they blow you out of the water, talent-wise.
Tyron Smith, though, in a league where everybody's looking for tackles, the Jets is the only team he'd sign with? Come on.
No.
If you made him a good enough offer, I bet he would have come here.
I would like to get his agent on the line.
Fine.
Ask him, because I don't think there's a shot in hell. Like, the other guys, the running backs, I don't think there's a shot in hell you were getting any of the good running backs. We talked about the other day, maybe Tony Pollard, or when you get down to sort of that level.
I would have taken Pollard yesterday.
Or Zeke Elliott, who's averaging 1 yard a carry in Dallas and looks like he's toast again after a nice season here. So, but I don't think they were all in on building a roster that they thought could win 8 games. I think they were all in on building a roster that they thought they could play competent football and still get a high draft. I think they told you so many times
they're
without telling you
competent football.
This was they did it on Sunday. You see Drake May?
Yeah, Drake May did.
Man's a stud.
And here's the problem, and this is it.
Should give him $100 million
right now. Drake May made his debut yesterday. That was his first game. The rest of that team's been playing for a month plus.
Not Terrell Jennings.
Except for Terrell Jennings.
I'd never heard of him until Thursday.
Other than him, then the rest of the team.
Or Ben Brown.
52, 50-ish guys have been playing for a month plus, okay? You get what I'm saying here? And they haven't gotten any better, all right? Drake May came in. He was the best player on the field by far on a team that I think is more than one offseason away from supporting him, and that's my problem with this. I think he looked good, and I think he deserves better than this, and we'll get more into this as the show goes on.
You're a hater.
617-779, not of Drake May. I like
him. I'm the homer and the hater.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines for you here. Are you with me? Do you feel like this team has failed Drake May, or are you with Andy and think that everything's going exactly according to plan? 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will talk with Drake May today. We will hear it right from the horse's mouth. I believe he's going to be coming in here. We'll talk to him live in studio. Jonathan Jones will be speaking to as well, and we'll be speaking to you again at 617-779-7937 here. It's a Patriots Monday, live from Gillette on WEEI. That was Gerard Mayo with the Greg Hill Show this morning right here in this very room, and I agree with everything he said right there. I thought that was very, very accurate. I thought the team did let him down. Drake May is who he was referring to there. I thought the team let him down. The coaches let him down. I did not really feel that great about the rest of the roster, and that's sort of my problem. That's why it was hard for me. Like, I'm sure people who were at the game yesterday, really pumped up, ready for Drake May, big pop when he comes running out with Milton and Brissett. Everybody's excited, and then Houston comes out and quiets the crowd down right away, right, mm-hmm. with those two touchdown drives.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, I mean, that's just sort of a damper on what should have been a much more exciting start to the game, and what should be the strength of your team, the defense, unable to make any kind of stops there as Stroud and Mixon and Dell and Diggs just carved you up. But as the game went on, there was the most exciting part of the game for me was halftime. Is that weird? Like, halftime, I'm sitting there going, wow, they just let a touchdown drive at the end of the half. This is a one-score game.
Get
this
ball back.
I was pumped. I'm watching the halftime show. I'm watching Nate Burles and everybody talk about it. I was excited. I felt like this is something good here. This is something happening. And then the second half started. And right away, I mean, it was just bam, bam, bam. Turnover, touchdown, turnover, field goal, turnover, another field goal. And that was it. I mean, it was garbage time by then. And the rest of the game, I mean, I think May did some good things. But that was really it. It wasn't really competitive. And I feel like that's probably what you're going to be getting for the rest of the year. And that, to me, is unfortunate because Drake May, you shouldn't have waited this long to start him. We both agree on that, right?
Correct.
I mean, the people who were scared about him starting, I think, were being nanas this entire time.
Hey, Orlovsky, where you at?
Exactly. Orlovsky, and he wasn't alone. There was a lot of other people.
No, he was the loudest and the most passionate and the most emphatic.
There was a lot of people around here. You know,
I thought he was
going to cry. Saying, oh, he's gonna get killed back there. You can't let him go. He's going to get killed. May got hit a few times.
He had hard one. A couple times.
Hunter came in and got him. He had his shoulder all bent, bunched up, and I was like, ooh, that's no good. He came him out of the game for a second. He came back in for the next series. But that was a legitimate hit that he took, and then he came back out there and kept playing. He's a tough kid. And I think Brissett's tough, too, by the way. It's not that, you know, you didn't have that with your previous quarterback. He was tough, too. And he was getting smacked around all the time as well. But that's it. I mean, that's really what this is about for me. It's going to take more than Drake May to make this a respectable team. That's where
I stand. Absolutely.
That's what I'm looking at. And I just don't trust these people in charge here to get that job done. It's easy to pick the third quarterback when you're picking third overall. It's not so easy to build a roster around that quarterback.
Well, first of all, I don't know if it's easy because there were a lot of people that were yelling how stupid they were. Oh, if he's not playing now, then you should have never taken him. Joe Alt was there. Marvin Harrison was there. You could have traded down, build the roster, then get the quarterback later. There were plenty of those people. And I think you might have been one of those.
I was
people.
One of them, and I feel like I a little vindicated, actually, after yesterday.
See, it's funny how we both can feel vindicated after the exact same game, because I believe you're 100% right. The rest of the roster has a lot of work to do. But to me, you took a step toward filling the most important position in all of sports. Not in football, not on this team, in all of sports. If Drake May is who they thought they were drafting, they turned down trades. That was another one that came up recently as everybody was trying to revisit the Giants wanted to do this right. And whoever else wanted to do that. And Elliot Wolf's an idiot for turning that down. Not based on what I saw yesterday, because I saw the first game. Has to get better. But I also want to recall, this was one of those Andy Hart would have said bad spots, correct? Oh, the pressure and that pass defense, and they're going to get
after against Houston, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
And he met the challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it was perfect or he was good enough to win, because he wasn't. He wasn't good enough to win either. But he met the challenge, he got up, he made some plays, he did things they haven't done all year, whether it was against good defenses or bad defenses, there's worse defenses on the horizon. So he's going to get more experienced, and theoretically, the guys on the other side of the ball are going to get worse, less challenging. And, oh, by the way, I think his guys are going to make more plays. I think Pop Douglas is all in on the Drake May experience.
I definitely think so. I think Kayshawn Booty is too. And like, I said like he didn't elevate anybody. Definitely Pop Douglas, you can say, definitely benefited from Drake May. Booty did too. Booty benefited in the sense that that probably kept him off the practice squad. Like he was, I think, in that sort of nebulous area where these bottom-tier wide receivers on this team are. He took a step up from that.
I don't know. His coach gave him a pat on the back this morning. His coach said,
for Booty, yeah, he should have.
We got Douglas, we got Booty, we got Bourne. The rest of the guys need to figure it out or step up or something like that.
Polk definitely needs
Polk,
to figure it out.
Who was active. K.J. Osborne, who was active, but DNPCD, they call it in the NBA, right? He was dressed, but he didn't get to play. One of the other guys who didn't get to play, Nick Leverett, was just cut. So when you're active and don't play, you're on the borderline of not being active. Tyquan Thornton and Javon Baker are healthy scratches. I don't know what they're doing. So Booty and Douglas, and I think Bourne is what he is, a veteran coming off an ACL and whatever. But Booty and Douglas, they're enjoying life under Drake May for a week.
There's no
question. And they're going to get better. He's going to get better. The matchups are going to get easier. You might not need to score as many points. You might not have C.J. Stroud on the other side going right down the field, right? They don't do that on every team. Mm-hmm. They certainly don't do that with Jacksonville. They don't go right down the field. So you got some winnable games coming. I'm not on the side of necessarily wanting to win games. Yesterday was borderline perfect for the Andy Hart plan. You want to keep putting up 20-plus points, throwing touchdown
just
passes.
Just lose, baby.
Those highlights, did you see how quickly the highlight to Booty was going viral all over the internet? I think the NFL put out the clip first, then the Patriots put the clip out.
I saw people retweeting.
You know what that is called? Recruiting.
I thought
T.
You were
Higgins
say
sees
desperation
that.
For the Patriots to put a highlight on the
that's
internet.
That's recruiting. T. Higgins sees that. Garrett Wilson sees that. These receivers see that, and they go, hey, that May guy in New England looks like he'd be fun to play with. That's the first step towards being in the conversation for athletes and playmakers and the other guys you need. That will help Elliot Wolf do his very difficult job.
If Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix or any of the other rookie quarterbacks, two top wide receivers, were Pop Douglas and Kayshawn Booty, what would we be saying about those teams?
They need to get better receivers.
We're saying those teams failed their quarterbacks. They failed their quarterback. That's what you're putting around your rookie. You failed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. If those are your two best guys.
But it's a
I'm not saying those guys
failure.
Have no place on a roster, obviously. I think they should be, you know, third and fourth guys maybe, or a slot receiver, something like that. But if those are your one and your two for your rookie quarterback, you failed your
but
rookie
But you know the problem, and smart people said this all spring. You're a team that needs a top 10 quarterback pick, a top 10 wide receiver pick, and a top 10 left tackle pick. Unfortunately, you didn't have three picks in the top 10.
Nope.
You had one. And if you nailed the hell out of that one, which after one game, I'm saying it, Wiggy style, reactionary style, give the man his extension, pick up his fifth-year option, do it now, you have a quarterback. Now you got to figure out, and this is the new part of the Andy Hart plan too, don't forget, if you pick number one overall, you trade down, now you have multiple first-round picks to get the tackle and the wide receiver. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We're in the playoffs again, Sam.
Okay, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's take a call here before the break. How about Coach in New Hampshire? He's been waiting a while. He has a thought on the offense and Alex Van Pelt. Go ahead, Coach.
Yes, two quick points. First with the offense. Andy, you're so right. To start the game, Van Pelt, with two runs up the middle, there's no way to indoctrinate your rookie quarterback and get his feet wet and get a little confidence. But but he did something worse in the game. This is not fireable, but this is where I would question him. Early in the fourth quarter, down three scores, he runs four to five times in a row to run the clock and huddles, putting the white flag up. I kind of got it, even though I hated it, because he was trying to preserve his quarterback, and he knew they weren't
going to win. Are you talking about the end of the game, that drive at the very end of the game, Coach? Because I agree. That pissed me off, too.
No. Let me finish. It was early in the fourth. Then all of a sudden, with the same scenario, same score, he goes no huddle, and he's winging it all over the field. What I'm trying to say is I'm not sure he knows what he's doing. And then last point about the wide receivers. You need to find not only a great wide receiver, but get ready for this, the most greediest wide receiver ever. Because no wide receiver, Drake May, whatever, no wide receiver is going to want to come to this dog crap franchise right now or in the next 3 years. They've got to be the most greedy. So let's go find a greedy guy. Thank you.
Yeah. Pay him the most money. Pay him more than any other team is willing to go. Go even higher than that, and then you have a fighting chance. I'm with you, Coach.
Aren't they all greedy?
Yes, but some will take less money to play with Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or whatever.
Or Drake May. You see that clip making the rounds on the internet?
Because of his one touchdown.
If you can run down the field and put your hands out like a basket, you can catch touchdowns from Drake May.
And there's no other quarterback who can make that throw in the league.
None.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls, and we will discuss what I think was an underrated part of all of this, and Drake May talked about it. What his friends and family had to say, his makeup, his attitude, all of that, taking the hits, and where does he need to improve? We'll get to all of that with your phone calls next. Drake May after the game. I liked what he had to say after the game. I really don't have too many complaints about what Drake May did during the game, what he said afterwards. The whole run-up to this start, I think, he handled pretty well. We were talking, and you talked about this a lot, Andy. You have a thing for his family makeup and the fact that he's got older brothers, and you know, they got this sort of idea, well, you know, even if you have a good game, the brothers are going to be there to keep you in check and all that. After this first performance, do you still feel that way?
Absolutely. I think he just expressed some of it right there. Like, they're not going to pat him on the back for the three touchdowns and a 20-point loss. They're going to kick him in the ass for the three turnovers. And I do think they're a competitive family, and I think that matters. I was just talking to Matt Morrell in one of the breaks. I think that's something that is lacking in a lot of modern athletes who are kind of coddled and put on a track toward success, and they have personal coaches, and everybody is sort of working for them and promoting them and telling them how good they are. Sometimes you need, as the brothers did in that video that made the rounds, to call your brother a bitch. And I don't care if you're the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, you'll always be my bitch little brother. You know what I mean? Like that mentality, keeping people humble and keeping them sort of grounded and realistic. And then when Mayo went on the Greg Hill show this morning and compared his personality a little Gronkish, he said, that's what I love. I don't think anything is too big for him. I don't think he's wound tight like Mac Jones. Now, there's going to be challenges. There's stuff coming along the way. But Rob Gronkowski, I think his personality helped him and helped his football team. Now, the difference is tight end meathead, quarterback meathead. And I don't know exactly. A little Gronkish, right? Right, Mayo? And I love that. But we'll see. It is modern football. And we are learning, I think. Quarterbacks are different now, right? Like Kyler Murray, we talked about him.
Yes.
He's kind of ebbed and flowed as the leader of the Cardinals. And
I don't know what his family's like, but yeah. I mean,
no, but you know what? Just like the personality and the difference. Like Baker Mayfield, he's not Tom Brady.
Right.
Like he's different. They're all different. So I love Drake May's makeup as a leader and as a professional, as a kind of doesn't give a you-know-what kind of guy, because I think he has confidence in himself as a competitor, as a young athlete.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing. I don't know. I mean, like, Tom Brady had a bunch of older sisters, and he turned out okay. Patrick Mahomes has the biggest D-bag little brother in the history of little brothers, and he's the best quarterback in the league right now. Like, I think that it's really about the guy. Like, you know, you can have a good, strong family background, but think about all the football players in the NFL who thrived coming from broken homes and just, sure, you know, were able to persevere and do that stuff. I think that that matters, and it's a good thing, and it certainly is useful for a player like Drake May, who has all these older brothers and are all athletic, and I think that was a big part of his upbringing, but I don't think it's necessary to be good in the NFL.
No,
you know?
Like, there's a million roads to get to that success, but I think guys that face challenges along the way, whatever they are, and I actually think Brady's sisters helped him. I'm a big believer, and I'm going to offend a portion of the audience right now. Only children,
go on.
I think, grow up in a certain way that's very different than when you have siblings. It's just the reality.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're pampered. They're coddled. They get everything they want. They never have to fight for anything. They never share parents and time and this and that. And I think that is an early step towards being part of a team, the familial team,
right,
where sometimes you're not 1A. Sometimes you're the backup kid because it's time for your brother or your sister to shine. And I think Brady dealt with that. If you remember, he says whichever one of them he followed around to, like, the softball fields was the better athlete growing up.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't the coddled athlete. One of his sisters playing softball was the coddled athlete. That right there, I think, sets a trend.
Yeah.
And I think Drake May has that, and I don't think Mac Jones did it. Mac Jones admitted, and I don't want to keep doing the comparison, but he admitted he was the tennis brat, the model, kind of the rich kid, the spoiled kid. And I'm not saying Drake Meal has ever, you know, had to work for a meal. Like, I think his family does okay.
Right.
But I think that, look at Gronk and the brothers there and the competitive nature and the mother talking about what would go on in the basement and the battles. And I think there's value in that. And losing, flat out losing. You didn't always win at home, so why would you expect to win every time you walk out the door to the rest of the world, right? And I think Drake May, I think that is going to benefit him as the leader of the New England Patriots, because the reality is, from now on, he's the leader of the New England Patriots. He's the face.
Yeah.
He's going to come sit with us right here in this chair, and
he's the only thing that matters on his team right now.
Correct.
I mean, that's it.
Yeah. Correct. And that's it's a cool thing for him. But if he notices it, it can become burdensome.
Yeah.
Like, if he realizes...
He's like the only child of the Patriots right now.
Right. No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And if he thinks that way and acknowledges it that way, I think it's detrimental. If he just goes about his business and says, well, I guess that's true, but really, I'm just worried about dropping back, throwing the ball when I get hit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think there is I don't want to, is nonchalance the word, or like a laissez-faire, like, and
nonchalant, yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah,
not in a bad way,
right,
a good way. Like, not taking every moment, every play too serious. Did you see the first pick when he, like, grabbed his head?
Yeah.
Like, as soon as he threw
and
it, he's
he
like,
rushed over
and
made the
tackle. The tackle.
Yeah.
Love it. Great job. Nice tackle. So, I don't know. I know I kind of trend toward being a homer and a jock sniffer or whatever for Drake May, but.
Your words.
Yeah, no, they are my words, because. I'm sorry. I was entertained. That's the first thing that jumped out to me yesterday. The old freaking gladiator. Are you not entertained? A week earlier, I would have given you a big fat thumbs down on that question.
Mm-hmm.
This week, big fat thumbs up, even though you lost by 20.
Yeah, that's part of it too. But yes,
hey, that's not the lead.
It was an entertaining loss. I'll give you
the
that.
The score of this game was not the lead. Can
no.
we agree on that?
I agree with that. Sure.
Okay.
It was May and the fact that he played mostly well. He had some mistakes, and we went over them. But yeah, he mostly played well.
And didn't you expect the mistakes?
Yes.
Like,
100%.
You expect him to hold on to the ball
make mistakes
too long.
All year long.
Right.
It's his rookie year. It's what happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'd like him to get less and less dramatic. Like, there'll be mistakes, but I want them to be more nuanced. I don't want just a hideous throw over the middle that he airmails and throws.
I also think sometimes young quarterbacks make mistakes and their teammates pick them up. And
yes.
I don't know that this team can do that. I don't know if this team's capable of that.
And it's going to start with the offensive line. And that's where, like, the continuity thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's known Ben Brown for 4 days.
Yeah.
He's never started a game. He just met Ben Brown, and we're going to go out there and be the two most important people in the middle of this field to start this game against, oh, by the way, one of the most rush-happy, pressure-happy defenses in the NFL and a team that's probably going to make us chase him on the scoreboard. No big deal. It's just, you know, nothing. Nice, easy first game. Wouldn't have wanted to put him out a week earlier against the Dolphins, the worst offense in the history of the game, against a backup quarterback and a bad defense.
No, but it was adversity that he faced, and I'm glad that he faced it. I would have been fine with starting him against San Francisco. We argued about this. I would have been fine with him going out there against the Niners. Same kind of thing. A team that's going to score, and you're going to have to chase them. The defense is going to rush you, and that's the way it's going to be. But this is what the NFL is, kid. You got to go out there and perform.
Can I hindsight it?
Sure.
In hindsight, if you had told me they were going to make his first start against the Texans,
then you'd have gone.
I might have just put him in San Francisco, because it's the same thing. I think it's an uphill challenge. It's a bad spot. So one bad spot, I'd rather have the earlier bad spot.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Lou in Wilmington before the break with a thought on next year's draft. Go ahead, Lou.
Lou? Good afternoon, guys.
Hi, Lou.
What's up, Lou?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, quick question. To get the first-round draft choice, do you take Travis Hunter?
Hell yeah.
Hell no.
Except he got hurt against who they play?
K-State, I believe.
Yeah, Kansas State. I wanted to say Kentucky. I knew that was wrong.
They lost.
Kansas State. I stayed up and watched the game. They did lose. Defense let them down at the end of that game. Not anybody's fault in the offense. But, yeah, that was a tough one. Hunter did leave with an injury. I think he's going to play this week. He's the guy I'd pick. Absolutely. I'd take him in a cocaine heartbeat.
I like him. I would rather trade down to take him. Like, I still have this dream of trading the pick for a quarterback hungry. I still have this dream of – because now – did we talk about this the other day? We're already getting the nitpicking of the tackles, the nitpicking on the draft nicks, the Campbell, the Banks kid out of Texas.
Okay.
Now there's early reports and rumblings. None are worthy of the top 10, and multiple of them have short arms, and they may actually be guards in the NFL.
Oh.
it's sucking a little life out of the Andy Hart plan. I'm not going to lie to you. There's an issue there.
What do those guys know?
That could push me toward receiver, but I still dream of trading from 1 to, like, 4, 6, whatever, and getting an extra 1 or 2 first-round picks and getting a tackle or a wide receiver. Travis Hunter at number 1 overall sounds like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if they get 1 overall, then that may
who
be
was
a,
the last
a different
wide
direction
to go in. 1 overall?
Calvin Johnson?
Was it? I don't even think he
was. Was he 1? I don't even know. He might not have been. I'll
Keyshawn
go back and
Johnson
check.
Feels like a long
Keyshawn,
time ago.
Keyshawn, I remember. That was in the 90s, I think. So, yeah, it's been a while, definitely.
Of course, he's not just a wide receiver, so he is a little different, but I don't know if he's going to play both in the NFL.
The novelty of it, I think, will get people biting on that. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the guys that did benefit from Drake May. Guys like DeMario Douglas. Guys like Kayshon Booty. Who else benefited? And why did this offensive line still continue to struggle so much? We'll get to all that next.